The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Welcome, racing fans, to another thrilling episode of F1 Mailbag Madness. I'm Alexa, and I'm here to dive headfirst into the high-octane world of Formula One alongside my fantastic co-host, Marshall Crocker.
That's right, Alexa. I'm Marshall, your fellow Formula One enthusiast, and I can't wait to unpack all the excitement, the drama, and all the adrenaline-pumping moments that this incredible sport has to offer.
Well, if you're new to the show, Mailbag Madness, this is where we bring you the latest in Formula One news, dissect the most exhilarating races, and share our in-depth analyses on the drivers, teams, and everything else that makes Formula One the pinnacle of motorsport.
That's not all, folks. We also have something special in store for you. This show is all about you, our fantastic audience. We're going to throw open the doors to our virtual mailbags. You can send in your questions, comments, and insights. That way we can answer your burning questions and share your opinions on the air.
So whether you're a diehard F1 fanatic or just dipping your toes into the world of racing, Mailbag Madness is the podcast that's got it all. From the twists and turns of the track to the inside scoop on the personalities and stories behind the helmets, we're your one-stop shop for all things Formula One.
So buckle up and get ready for a wild ride through the world of Formula One. This is Mailbag Madness.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Mailbag Madness, Season 2, Episode 2. My name's Alexa. Alongside me is Marshall Crocker. And Marshall, after 3 long months, I can finally say it's race week. How are we feeling, my friend?
Oh, we are feeling great. There's only 5 more sleeves. It's right around the corner. It's a great track. Love Bahrain. Probably be up towards my top 10. Just nice, consistent racing. The drivers love it. Makes all, you know, for fun storylines coming out of the first week. And I can't wait for the entire F1 community to collectively overreact a little bit to the first race of the year.
Yeah, and like we mentioned in the first episode, I don't think we're going to put a lot of credibility into preseason testing, which is why everyone's excited for the first race of the season, because we don't know what to expect. But I know someone like you, Marshall, who has so much experience watching the sport, even driving yourself a little bit in your early years. What can we expect from this race? What can we expect from a track like this? What are some of your predictions? Hit me.
Yeah, so I think the interesting thing to figure out with Bahrain is it's going to kind of help us learn how to interpret the preseason testing results, right? Because if we see that, okay, the teams that maybe were running more laps on the hard compound or the soft compound find more success on those tires in the race, or we start to see that the guys with just, you know, more laps or maybe even more qualifying attempts, maybe it's going to be literally the guys that were fastest in preseason testing are fastest in the race. And I think if that's the case, we're going to be in for a really, really interesting event, because this week is the kind of the rawest any of the cars are going to be all season, right? Like, they've done the simulator work, they've done as many laps as they could in practice, but there's one thing you can't kind of recreate, and that's the act of being in race trim. And that's where personal experience in racing kind of comes in handy, because I know from my background that driving in dirty air, really in any environment where you are behind another car, all your testing in the sims and everything in the preseason, you can't emulate that feeling of driving in a pack of, you know, 10, 12 cars, being on a restart. I know they did a simulated, I think it was 6 cars in preseason testing just to practice for procedure. But driving around other cars is so much different than your individual solo runs, not just from a car perspective, but from a driver perspective. And I think you look back to years past where certain young drivers find a lot of success here. Like Guan Yu Zhou, I remember, I think maybe his best race I've ever watched of his was his very first race. I think he finished 8th in his debut at Bahrain. So the younger drivers, it's going to be interesting, because Bahrain is a track with some good passing zones. You got the turn one hard braking zone after the longest DRS straight on the circuit. You got that second straightaway that usually is where the passing happens at the beginning of the race, down towards that turn three where we had the big three wide Sergio Perez went off the other year, the year he won it in the Sakhir Grand Prix. But so many good passing zones. I think there's actually 3 DRS spots, maybe 4, depending on how they do the zones this year. So it's going to be interesting to see how guys are able to pass. And again, that's why it's so tough to interpret what's going to happen race one, because as we've seen in the past with the Ferrari issues last year, we had, I think it was Verstappen went out in the opening race a couple seasons back. Just a lot of the big names are going to get a little bit overzealous trying to prove themselves at the start of the year. And I think that's where we're going to see some mistakes. I'm just going to throw it out. I'll throw it to you, Alexa, and hear your perspective. I think we're going to get a max race win. I think we'll get a max pole. I'm much less confident about that. I would say, actually, and this is maybe somewhat of a dark horse pick in my mind, just because he's not usually the guy I think of for qualifying pace, But I would not be surprised at all if Carlos Sainz carries over that raw pace he had from day three of preseason testing. So if it's not Verstappen, I would say it's Sainz. And I'd say I'm about 55% sure Max pole, but I would throw a nice 30% at Sainz. I think he's got a good chance. And I think regardless, as long as he finishes the race, it's going to be a Max win to start off the year.
Well, Marshall, you know, our favorite duo in F1 is a Leclerc pole and a Verstappen win. So we can also see that as well in my mind. Sainz, look, definitely going to be trying to prove himself based on what happened in the offseason. The guy's a proven race winner, a proven competitor, and he's going to be looking to really show out this weekend. And you made a perfect example with a lot of the younger drivers kind of experiencing success at this track in particular. You said Zhou Guan Yu in his first race ever finished P8 or P9. George Russell, when he first got into that Mercedes, was leading the Sakhir Grand Prix for a little bit until he ran into that issue. He probably could have won that race. So yeah, I definitely think it's going to set the tone for the rest of the season. That's what everyone's expecting, and that's what I'm expecting as well. A part of me is excited, but a part of me is a little bit wary about the outcome of the race itself, because this, in my opinion, will give us an indication on whether or not the teams that were behind Red Bull and Max Verstappen last year have caught up whatsoever. And a little bit of optimism that I'm carrying into the Bahrain Grand Prix is what I saw last year as well. So there is a nuanced perspective where we did see a team win the Bahrain Grand Prix and then win the Constructors. We did see a driver win the Bahrain Grand Prix last year and then end up winning the championship with 19 race wins. But we also saw a McLaren outfit come to Bahrain with the worst car on the grid and end the season with the second fastest car. We saw an Aston Martin team that saw Fernando Alonso finish with, I think, his second podium in 6 or 7 years at the Bahrain Grand Prix in an Aston Martin that looked to be the second fastest car on the grid. And they ended up finishing fifth in the Constructors at the end of the season. So we had McLaren, who was pretty much last behind every single team, finished second in the Constructors. And I don't mean statistically second in the Constructors. I mean, they did have the second best car at the end of the season. And we saw Aston Martin, who had the second best car at the start of the season, finish behind McLaren, which is wild when you think about it. So there is a nuanced perspective where you are coming in with these expectations of what's going to happen. Again, like I mentioned, we can't take too much credibility from preseason testing, because of course teams were tweaking their setups and playing around with the car, seeing what works and what doesn't, what does tailor to a driver's liking, what doesn't as well. And I think it's going to be exciting, because again, we have no expectations. We're both predicting a Max win. We're both predicting that Red Bull is going to be the most dominant car on the grid, but the question just now remains, how much have the other teams caught up behind them? And, you know, maybe by the end of the season, if they're even just a little bit closer than they were last year, can they replicate something like a Red Bull in the previous year? I think it was in maybe 2021 when, you know, they started off with the second best car and then they got a better car than Mercedes and then flip-flop back and forth. And then it made for a really entertaining season, as you guys all remember. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, and I'm really excited to see how, as you kind of described, we carry over from the end of last season, because I think especially beginning of last year, I think preseason testing carried over a lot more than the previous year had in terms of results. And part of me is kind of worried that all the progress teams like McLaren and like Ferrari have made, I'm worried that's going to kind of start to go backwards a little bit. And especially, you know, McLaren, where they got to by the end of last season, I'm a little bit worried about how they developmentally are going to start off this year, because that's really been their weakness in the past couple seasons. Is, you know, they figured out over the course of the year, their car gets better. Lando especially just gets better and better as the weeks go on. But in the course of the offseason, they never seem to make those big developmental strides that the other teams are able to. And they did the same last year. They looked better at the end of 2022 than they did beginning of 2023. And now starting off this season, I just worry that there has been more maybe developmental changes made, certainly to the Mercedes. I mean, they're making massive overhaul changes to their zero side pod design, trying to find something that works. And, you know, seemingly with Hamilton's departure that we talked about in episode one this season, maybe, you know, they're not feeling super confident, or at least he isn't, about the changes they've made. But like a Ferrari, I think this is going to help them kind of catch up a little bit, this time off, this extra wind tunnel time. And even though that advantage should go to McLaren because they finished, I think, P4 in the Constructors, I'm just a little bit worried. I hope they get out of the gate well. They would probably be the team I'm worried about. But I think, Alexa, if we see a good start from McLaren this week, knowing how good they get by the end of the season, how they just seem to make bigger strides within the calendar year than the other teams, I think a good start from McLaren could potentially be their track towards a P2 in the constructors this year.
Yeah, well, McLaren could potentially be sandbagging, because when I read all of the reports from preseason testing, I didn't see anyone mention McLaren as either a loser or a winner. So they're kind of hanging in the balance right now. We don't know what to expect from them. Like you mentioned, they finished last season really strong. So we're hoping that can carry into this year, and we can potentially see a fight between Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri with Sergio Perez and Max Verstappen at the end of the season for the constructors. So yeah, one thing I want to add on to what you were saying, I actually think that this is the first time in maybe about 2 or 3 years that I'm actually hearing some optimism from the Mercedes garage. I think you can agree with me. Exactly. So look, say what you want. I think that we'll see a close fight between McLaren, Ferrari, and Mercedes in Bahrain, with Max Verstappen leading the Grand Prix by 10 or 15 seconds. That's my prediction for now. And I do think that the fact that we heard Lewis Hamilton and George Russell say that the car feels a lot better and it finally seems like it's heading in the right direction with the fixes that they made to the tail end of the car. I talked about this last season. They weren't good in the high-speed corners. There was a lot of stiff nips behind the wheel. It looks like they maybe made some fixes with that. So I'm optimistic that we can see Mercedes make a turnaround and give Lewis Hamilton a final goodbye with a semi-decent car that can potentially produce even just maybe one or two race wins for the Silver Arrows.
Yeah, no, I mean, we might as well segue out of this, because you know, the kind of optimism you have about Mercedes, I do somewhat echo it. I don't know if they're the team that I think is going to make the biggest step forward this year, but well, you know, we can kind of segue, I think, into our big season kind of perspective on, you know, what we can anticipate for all of the 2024 year. So, I mean, we'll throw it to you, Alexa. I mean, do you have any team, or yeah, we'll do drivers first, maybe. What's like a driver you think this year, especially based on the 2 years you've seen? What's a guy that you just anticipate, based on their track record, will make a big jump up this year in performance?
I think it's going to be the McLaren boys, Oscar Piastri and Lando Norris. I'm very optimistic that McLaren can make a very good turnaround this season and add on to what they started last year in 2023. They just didn't have the resources to compile an entirely new car in the span of 6 or 7 months. They actually had to go back into the factory and create something entirely new that was only going to be better than what they made last season. I'm probably going to lean more towards Oscar Piastri. I think he was outstanding in his rookie season. And although I had maybe some criticisms with the way he was managing his tires race by race, or he was potentially scoring very good results simply because he had a very good car in the McLaren in 2023. But I think from a skill standpoint and from an experience standpoint, he's such a good driver. And he's shown me even last year how much potential he has in that McLaren. And I think we're actually going to see a tighter race between Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri in 2024. And we'll see him pick up a lot more podiums in 2024 than last season. So I would probably have to say it's Oscar Piastri. In terms of a team, I would have said Williams last year. I think you and I both had that pick. We were talking about it. I think in the last episode, we mentioned how we thought Williams was going to be that team like the Aston Martin in 2023 that made that next step forward in 2024 and potentially would finish higher up the pecking order than usual, because Williams, you know, for the last couple of years, I think before 2023 was awful, like bottom of the grid, if you can remember. So synonymously Marshall. But yeah, I would probably have to go with Oscar Piastri. And if, just to quickly throw back to you, if there's going to be one team that I think stands out, it's going to be Mercedes. I love the optimism that's coming out of the garage, and I think we'll see just maybe one or two Mercedes victories this season. But again, that's simply because I just think Red Bull is going to be as dominant as they were last year. So the odd race winners are going to be your McLaren, your Ferrari, and Mercedes, but we're just going to see another dominant season from the Bulls and Verstappen again.
And then I think, you know, obviously the flip side to all this is maybe somebody that's going to disappoint. Very quickly, I'm just going to give one more little shout out prediction for the year. I actually think the speaking of dumb team names, the whatever you want to call it, stake kick, you know, throw all the sponsors in there you want Sauber. I think they're going to be actually making a little bit of a step up this year. I think the same logic that I used for RB to Red Bull, I think they're going to do a lot of the same with Ferrari. And I think if that program is good enough, I do anticipate Bottas probably retiring by the end of the year, the way his contract works out. And I think that could be a potential good spot for Sainz just to stay in the Ferrari kind of relationship program there before he moves over to Audi in 2026. So I can see if that team is good enough, but maybe a landing spot for him. And then I can see both drivers leaving. I don't think Zhou Guanyu will be there by the end of the year either. This hopefully is finally the time Teo Porcher, reigning F2 champion, will make his way into F1. But to talk about maybe, you know, somebody on the flip side, I'll throw it to you first, Alexa, and then maybe I'll give you one back before we cap off here. But maybe a disappointment this year, either team, driver, just somebody you think is going to kind of, you know, not meet the expectations of what we have based on years past.
I would probably have to go with the two teams, Alpine and Aston Martin. I just think so much of my predictions are leaning on what I saw at the tail end of 2023, because I think that gives us a little bit of direction of where teams are headed. And like Aston Martin last year started off great, ended the season on a low. Alpine, just with their team structure and what they did to Otmar, just rubbed me off the wrong way. I don't necessarily see them having a great season either. And a lot of this is being traced back to the analyses that I was reading about on F1.com. I just don't think that they're the two squads that had necessarily the optimism and the direction of where they wanted to go, as opposed to teams like McLaren or Ferrari that knew exactly what they needed, right? Like Ferrari, for example, they thought that the car was bad in terms of balance and they were bad on their tires. And from what I'm hearing, they fixed that. It's the same thing with Mercedes. They were bad in the high-speed corners. They went on and fixed that. Whereas with Aston Martin and with Alpine, they were slapping on these upgrades and, you know, trying to see what works and what doesn't, and they pretty much went nowhere with that. Which is why I think it's going to be Aston Martin and Alpine that disappoint. And yeah, it's the obvious with Alfa Romeo and Haas just not having the resources and the driver pairing to extract any performance. In terms of like a good constructor standing or driver standing for that matter.
Yeah, no. To go off your point, Alexa, about Alpine and Aston Martin, specifically the more Mercedes-powered, kind of Mercedes-aligned teams in Formula One, I guess that's kind of the theme of today's episode, is these like technical alliances and I guess you could call it the trickle-down effect from one team to another, and have a flagship team in the case of F1, usually Red Bull, Mercedes, and Ferrari. What effect, you know, their technical performance and their ability to evolve, what effect that has over the course of a season on the teams kind of under their banner, not just in terms of the power units that they sell to those weaker teams, but also just in terms of like the direction they go. And Aston Martin was just continuously getting worse last year. They were getting, you know, absolutely swallowed at the end of the season by the other teams. It was a miracle they kept P5 in the constructors. And then Alpine, just it felt like they were just slapping on a kind of, you know, makeshift solution every race, trying to find pace race to race, but they didn't really change the car over the course of the year to ever feel like they may be a top, you know, 2-3 contending car, whereas Aston Martin was at the beginning of the year. So I think the lack of vision Mercedes have had about how they want to progress that car has kind of, you know, echoed into the other two sister teams of theirs.
That's all we have for today, folks. Enjoy the race on Saturday, not Sunday, for the first time ever, I think. Yeah, and we'll see you back for episode 3 next week. Take care, guys. Have a good one.